Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support.
Friday. There he is. It's draft week. It's Christmas in the NFL. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm still trying to peel myself off the wall from the Knicks game on Monday evening. But yeah, good. Feeling great. How are you?
I've been using your team as a nice example of, hey, it really pays off to actually try in the regular season.
Yeah, it does. Because I got to tell you, that game's in Philly. That's a foul.
Yeah.
But it's not at the Garden. So, Tuesday.
Brother, shit like that happens all the time. Whatever. I love the NBA's last 2-minute report. We're sorry. And what do I do with that, asshole? What do I do with that? Whatever.
The game earlier this year, obviously regular season game, the Knicks played the Rockets in Houston. And the Knicks had come way, like they had a huge comeback. They tied the game. And literally as the buzzer was sounding for the fourth quarter to end to go to overtime, I forget who it was in the Rockets. The guy just jumped into Jalen Brunson from half court. And the Knicks started walking off the court in the area for overtime. They called the foul and gave the guy 3 free throws. And the Knicks lost their minds. If anybody doesn't believe me, go watch it. God knows it's on YouTube.
I remember it. They
put out that 2-minute report the next day. And they're like, yeah, we screwed that up. I'm like, no kidding.
Really?
But what good does it do anybody? Like, I would love if the NFL did that. Like, just put out like 40 missed calls every Sunday. They're like, listen, we know we totally screwed you. Oops. Yeah, I never understand why the NBA does this.
Trigger congressional movement and shit like that, because that's the NFL. The Congress would get involved. Did you see that? Yeah. The Redskins. I'm sorry. The Commanders got screwed. We need to, whatever. I could just see that, because the football, oh my God.
Especially in football, where every game is unbelievably important. Like, it'd be unbelievable. And then, of course, like, if you're a Jets fan, you feel you got screwed, and the NFL comes out, like, you didn't get screwed, then it's a conspiracy. But the NBA's 2-minute thing. Also, in that 2-minute report about that specific game, there were like 3 missed foul calls in the span of like 5 seconds. Right. Like, 1 on the Sixers, 2 on the Knicks. Somehow Maxey like giving a 2-hand shove to Hart's chest like right before the inbounds play wasn't a missed call somehow. Like, the NBA is the only sport that I feel like if the officials weren't on the court, nothing would change.
Brother,
that's fine. Just call your own fouls.
Brother, there's a referee dabbing up Anthony Edwards last night.
dude, it's brutal.
I mean, come on,
it's just so bad. And like, I know as a Knicks fan in game 3 in Philly, like the disparity of free throws are going to be like 30 to 10. And the Knicks are going to have to just overcome it if they want to win, because it's just going to be – Maxey's going to shoot like 20 free throws in that game.
And that's been going on since I was
forever,
a kid.
Forever.
Since I was a kid, okay? I still remember Riley, or Jackson or whatever Celtics coach it was back in those days – complaining to the officials about this or that and getting these calls or that calls. Heat, Knicks, same bullshit. I mean, it's been going on for that's that league. That's just the way it is. By the way, as you saw the conversation, because somebody was asking me about the whole balance of everything and how much the quarterback, and my whole problem is that we put too much. While the quarterback is important, there's no doubt he's got to make plays, but brother, he cannot overcome everything. And so if you don't have a defense, there's a good chance he's not going to overcome that, because Marino couldn't overcome it. If he doesn't have an offensive line, Mahomes didn't overcome it. So
right,
lesser quarterbacks are going to have even more trouble overcoming all that kind of stuff when the great, great ones have those roadblocks. Like I put with like Kurt Warner, like we're looking at Kurt Warner like, brother, what happened to you? You're like lost there with Derek Brown, and like it's going back and forth. It looks terrible. Aren't you the guy from the Rams? And then he goes to the Cardinals, and he has an excellent offensive-minded coach. And oh my God, and everything's changed. It's just I know we're quarterback-centric, but I think the fan base and even certain media, I think they put way too much weight and expectation on the one guy.
I agree to an extent. I think, look, they're, I think it's unfair when the situation around the guy is completely untenable. And, you know, it's like, well, why doesn't he win more? Well, because the team stinks. Like, I'll give you a guy that this year I think it's coming. Dak Prescott. The Cowboys are like, oh, it's this big referendum of a year. Well, they suck around them. They just let half the team walk away. I mean, they don't suck in terms of, like, they're not the Panthers, but, like, they're not as good as they were the last couple of years. Well, mm-hmm. Why would they be better? Why the hell do you think he's going to win 13 games? I mean, based on what? The Commanders are about to draft a quarterback. The Eagles, you would think, will bounce back to some extent here. The Giants might get a quarterback. Like, why are the Cowboys going to be better after they signed Eric Kendricks and nobody else this offseason? I think a lot of times, you know, you'll look at situations and they don't get enough weight into how a guy plays. Like this draft coming up is a perfect example. If I'm a quarterback in the first round this year, I am begging to go to Minnesota. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, offensive-minded coach, Christian Jarosław is my left tackle. I play indoors. For the love of God, let me go to Minnesota. Like, how different is J.J. McCarthy's career if he's in Minnesota or New England? It's pretty damn different. Like, in New England, you don't have any weapons, and you have a first-year defensive-minded head coach, and you're playing outside, and, like, you're in the AFC where every team has a quarterback. Situations matter in life and in sports. They matter. There's no way around it.
By the way, just my theory, Dallas did this on purpose because they don't want to pay Dak.
Oh, I agree with you.
They're kind of setting him up because he's really not the kind of – it's just there's only a couple of guys that existed in the history of time that are just going to try to carry you and
right,
will
the whole team on their back.
Yeah, they can. They're not going to be able to overcome everything, but they'll will you through some things. Mahomes is one of those kind of guys that can will you through some things. Like I mentioned before you came on, the year he had the offensive line, he willed you through some things. But brother, you want him to be fucking Atlas now all of a sudden?
Yeah, I'll let's give go. You. So I had to do my 10 predictions for the NFL draft. My editor asked me to do this week, and I had some fun with it. But here's my hottest prediction. I think actually might happen. Dallas is going to take quarterback in the first round. If Michael Penix Jr. is there at 24, I think they're going to do it. I do. Because what is the plan? What is the plan here? If you believed in Dak, you would already paid him. And I don't think they believe in him. He's getting to be on now on the other side of 30. I don't think they want to pay him. That's pretty obvious, I think, for most people to see. And I think if you're Dallas, look, the board's got to fall the right way. I'm not saying I don't think they're going to make some big move up, right? But, like, if Penix is sitting there at 24, I think they'll take him. I think they'll take the quarterback.
It'll become a circus. It'll become a circus for a whole year.
And if they don't take him in the first round, maybe they take, like, Spencer Rattler on day two.
Okay, I can see that.
Because the idea that they're drafting they're going forward with Trey Lance is ridiculous. That's not happening.
Like, no, that's a project. You try.
See, that was like, hey, we'll take a lotto ticket on the kid. Sure, whatever.
Yeah.
That is my hottest take. That if Michael Penix Jr., maybe Bo Nix, is there at 24, they'll take one of them.
That would make some interesting discussions in Dallas, and the writers are going to have even more material. And every moment that Dak struggles or has a bad moment, they're going to be talking Michael Penix right away. That would make everything a little crazy, you know? What'd you think of, I mean, it was the inevitable now because you would look like complete idiots if you didn't do it and pretty evil. But Reggie Bush getting back his Heisman. I thought that was the least they could do, actually, considering the direction that college football is in right now.
I think if he didn't give him back his Heisman, it would be beyond embarrassing. Look, I remember that whole story from, God, what was it now, 15 years ago, when all this came out and Jason Cole and Charles Robinson were the ones who really kind of broke all this stuff. And I am in full disclosure, I'm very, very, very good friends with Jason Cole. He was my editor in chief for 18 months, covered the Dolphins forever. Yeah. Jay and I are super tight. And I,
Jay used to house me.
Really? On the,
yeah, dude, because when I first got in this business 20, 30 years ago,
yeah,
when I first started, like when I first got in the business, a radio guy, I'm looking around going, well, dude, writers are the only ones that travel and they break all the stories. And I go, well, how am I going to break any stories? How am I going to get anything? And so I started, you know, QAM doesn't, you know, so I started paying my own way to the Senior Bowl, the Combine, the East-West Shrine, all that. So when I would go, he didn't go to the East-West, but he would go to the Senior Bowl, the Combine. And so I would stay in his hotel the first couple of years because I didn't have the money. Yeah. So he goes, dude, I have an extra bed. And so I had to count on Jason Cole, Armando Salguero, Alex Marquez. That was kind of my foundation guys that kind of like, you know, taught me the ropes and all that shit when I was on the road and shit like that. So I, you know, I've known Jason for 30 years, dude. And
yeah, Jason's a great guy.
Actually, one of the few writers, because one of the things that people don't know about writers is most writers, they, since they're stuck on their beats, they don't really get to know even their own leagues, or and they certainly don't know what's going on in other sports at all, pretty much, except for fucking Jason Cole.
Yeah, Jason knows everybody.
Exactly. I could talk baseball. I could talk basketball with Jason. I could talk college. Like he, somehow or another, Jason had time. He was one of those writers that was well-versed in everything else. One of the few writers that I've met in my lifetime that I could actually talk just all sports with him, not just one sport. So
Jason's the man. I totally changed my career. Made me
that big head did not go to waste.
That's right. It does have a giant head. Yeah, he does
a giant head, and there's a giant brain in there.
Yeah.
By the way, you know the Atkins story?
God, if I do, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Dean Atkins. So he writes an article about.
Yes, I do know the story. Oh yeah.
So for those of you that don't know, Jason Cole in the Herald writes, or maybe it was Sentinel. I don't know. It was the Sentinel.
It was the Sentinel
many years, and then joined the Herald with Armando after then he left.
Yeah.
So at the Sentinel, he writes his story about Gene Atkins, who was struggling badly, and he was over
hard-hitting safety.
Right. And at those times, the numbers for contracts didn't get out nearly as much. You would really have to know an agent. You'd have to kind of get into the system. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The people in the inside know what the hell I'm talking about. And so obviously he was able to get it inside and get the numbers. And dude, Gene Atkins was livid that Jason wrote that story. And Jason's just there interviewing another player, and out of nowhere, Gene Atkins tackles his ass in the locker room, bro. And that place, you know, it wasn't like Jason was fighting him or anything. It's just, right. You know, separating broad because Atkins was a little crazy. So,
That Jason, is a true story because I've heard that story. I know you know, but I'm just saying, like, I'll corroborate. That's a true story. Yeah, no.
One day, him and Armando wrote these pieces about Jimmy and brother. I'm standing there on the field because Jimmy used to let us literally stand on the field, bro. All the way around the field, training camp.
Different and
it was the best back in the day. Yeah, it was so awesome.
Full difference.
And so I'm there, and then Armando gets there, and then Jason arrives a little later than him, like 15 minutes later. The second that Jimmy notices Jason and Armando are there, he comes storming off the field. And he looks at Armando and Jason. He goes, you, come here. And he takes him inside. And he's just ripping into them and all kinds of stuff. And it was just a funny thing. Because when you're a good writer, you're not going to hold back, bro. You're going to call shit.
You got to say like it is. No, I mean, Jason's a great friend. He changed my career from being a writer to a reporter. He used to, when we worked together at Fanside, he locked me out of our office with my laptop, and he's like, you're in the NFLPA system, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, go in, find the page with all the agents' phone numbers, and just start calling them. And I was terrified. I was like 27 years old. I'm like, bro, I don't know how to do that. He's like, just start cold calling them. Tell them who you are. Tell them you're not going to go anywhere and that they need to play ball with you. And to their credit, most of the agents were like, hey, man, okay, you know, cool. I'm sure they were like, what the hell's going on? But like, it was Jason forced me to get into the news breaking side of things. And as comfortable as it was at first, like, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I mean, without him, there's no way I'm in Sports Illustrated.
Right.
But Jason, I'll have to tell him we're talking about during this interview. But Jason was hilarious. But anyway, he was the one. He and Charles Robinson, when he was at Yahoo, they broke the story. Damn. And that was what led to all this stuff with the Heisman, you know, trophy and Bush. But I don't want to speak for Jason. I would wager that I think at this point, everybody feels like, yeah, it's probably best that it's back and, you know, in his hands, he deserves it. I mean, also, let's be real. Jason and Charles did amazing work and got the story. How many other guys who have a Heisman trophy sitting on their mantle? A lot worse stuff than what Reggie Bush did, right? Just Reggie got caught. Reggie was a little sloppy with it.
Somebody just passed away that allegedly was a double murderer. I mean, I don't
know. Same school as Reggie Bush.
You know, both slashers, except one took it literally. I don't know. You know, what can I tell you? I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's just, it's crazy stuff. So Daniels or May at number two?
I think it's going to be Daniels. I would take May. I think it's going to be Daniels.
Okay. Yeah, I would take May also. Yeah. Did you see that article today that I found it funny. He wants to be the best running quarterback because, you know, Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson. I'm like, don't you want to be Pat Mahomes or Tom Brady? Championships? Who gives a shit about being the best running quarterback? Yeah. I looked at that and I go, Jaden, my brother, like, you're already not even focused on the right thing. You're the me attitude is already taking, you know, you only run if it benefits you. You want to win games. You want to win titles. And then last time I checked, the guys from the pocket are the ones that win. Mahomes is not running to run. He runs because I've got no effing choice. This is the play that my team needs right now. I have no choice. That's when he's running. That's smart.
You run because you need to. I think if you're playing the quarterback position at the optimal level. Now, granted, if you're Lamar Jackson, you drop back and, you know, parts like the Red Sea in front of you, then sure, go for it. But like, yes, more often than not, you should only be running if you have to run. Like, that's, I mean, you know, I look at Josh Allen as an example of this. Like, Josh Allen, I get it. You know, I get that that's a huge part of his game. Like, how long is his career going to be, though? Like, I mean, now he's, granted, the man is the size of a linebacker, so maybe it works out for him.
He'll last like Cam Newton.
But, like, you know, at some point, man, I don't care who you are. That stuff adds up. And I say this all the time, and people always push back on it, but if you talk to people in the league, they'll tell you the same thing. I don't care how big of a quarterback you are. Those guys hitting you, those safeties, those linebackers, those DNs, they're bigger and stronger than you are 90% of the time. They just are. Like, those linebackers, like, Allen's huge. Those linebackers are 250 and run a 4.5. Like, they're bigger than you, man. Like, at some point, it's going to add up. And I think the biggest problem I have with some guys who run like Allen is like, get down, man. Like, if you're going to run, fine, get down. You know, that is one thing I will say with Mahomes. Mahomes never takes a big hit. Like, if you watch him run, he doesn't, unless it's a playoff game and he's got to have it.
Yeah.
He gets down or he gets out of bounds. Yeah. He does not take a lot of big hits. He just doesn't. Like, he will get himself out of bounds because, like, what's the point? It's week 7 against the Jets. Bro, just go out of bounds.
Yeah, dude. Plus, he doesn't have the body to be doing. Like, I get Josh Allen thinks, you know, because he is big. But Cam Newton was his size and actually even better built.
Yeah, Cam was even a bigger dude. Yeah. I would, defined.
It was like, you know, that guy had the body that we all pray we had because we know all women would be like, you know, just in line, just like that. And the NFL broke his ass. Okay.
I'll give you another guy, not a big scrambler, Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger was huge. Now, he wasn't a big runner, although he could run a little bit early on in his career.
Time.
But he would just sit in the pocket And it was like, you basically just sack him. It was like the third guy in was going to be the one who finally, like, you know, finished the job. But, like, look at how he was at the last three, the 5 years of his career. He couldn't move. Like, he just couldn't play anymore. Because all those hits, I don't care who you are. After a while, it adds up. It just does. Like, if I'm Jaden Daniels, the last thing I want to do is run just to run. Like, I get it, man. You're super athletic, and you can pick up yardage like that. And if I'm the Commanders and I draft him, if I'm Dan Quinn, the first thing I'm telling him, hey, man, you want to run, go for it. You better get down. Right. I don't want to see you trying to take on a linebacker. Like, and if you look at Jaden Daniels in college, he took a lot of hits, man. He took some massive hits because he wouldn't get down. That cannot happen at pro level.
And he will die in the NFL that way, you know. And this has been going on since the beginning. Brother, you want to be Joe Cap? You go ahead, bro. You're going to take an effing beating if you want. That's just, this has been going on. You want to be Joe Namath? And you want to hang in there and be the tough guy and wait till the last second? He did it all the time for the Jets. He waited for the last moment. He was ironclad tough. And his knees were shot, his body. And by the time he got to the Rams, he was just mincemeat because he played that fearless game. And you know why Marino lasted so long? Because he got rid of the football. He threw it away. Dan was not going to be taking a lot of hits either, actually. He took some, but he was smart. That's why he played for so long. That's why his Achilles tore, he didn't even replace it. He didn't repair it and let it like that and just wore some boot because he just found the guy and let it fly right away. You know, if you get that, then you can live longer. But if you want to be Mr. Tough Guy, brother, yep. The league is littered for 50, 70 years of those guys, and they all end badly, bro. They all end badly. They all end beaten up. Doug Williams took a beating, and he was strong as an ox, bro. And he took a beating, man. You know, it just tough guy quarterbacks. It only goes so far in the NFL. You're not tougher than them. You're just not, bro.
You're not tougher, and you're not bigger.
McMahon, another guy that played like a linebacker. And, bro, you're a quarterback. You're not a linebacker. I mean, I've watched this since I was a child, bro. You just – there has to be a certain level. And when I see Jaden Daniels, I'm like, young man, you're not focused, bro. You're not focused. You don't want to be a running quarterback. You want to win from the pocket. Yeah. I don't get that one, man. I don't get that one. What's it called? So how many quarterbacks go in the first round from what you're hearing finally? Because, you know, down here in Dolphin Land, we're hoping 87 quarterbacks go in the first 20 picks. Even though there's only 20, we're hoping 87 go in there. Yeah. So what are you hearing?
I think there's at least going to be 5. I think there'll be 6. I think the question is Knicks, and I think he goes. I think he'll go. Denver is really interested in him. That has been known since the Senior Bowl. I mean, that was like common knowledge in January. I think the question is whether or not they take him at 12, they trade back and take him. But I think there's going to be 6. I think certainly 5.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. Dolphins. I'm leaning. I don't mind. I mean, I would love Latu. I would love Verse at 21. I don't think Verse will last.
He'd be a steal. Yeah.
Yeah, he would be a steal. I think it's going to go more offensive linemen.
I agree.
Than anything else. But what do you think for the Dolphins at 21?
Interior offensive lineman. I think that's, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson, maybe Graham Barton, somebody of that ilk. If there's a real big edge rusher, like if Verse is there, I think they take him. Like if that kid is there, I think they take him.
How about Latu?
Latu is interesting. Latu. I think the big question with him is a lot of people are like super high in his talent. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. He was dominant. He was great at UCLA. The question is, you had a neck fusion. Like where are you? How comfortable are you on his health? That's the question most teams have to answer. Yeah, man. If I had to guess, I'll say interior offensive line. That would be my guess for Miami at 21.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. What do you got going on SI, my man?
I got quite a bit going on. I got a lot going on. So about 20 minutes ago, my 10 predictions for the NFL draft went up. I also have tomorrow instant grades on every pick in the first round. I will have my day two mock draft coming out right after the first round's done. My five favorite picks, my five least favorite picks. I got a whole bunch of stuff. So just go to SI.com and go to my Twitter feed, and you will find all of it and much more.
And follow him on Twitter at Matt Verderam there. Matt, as always, you're a stud, my brother. We will catch up next week, my friend. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. Take care.
You got it. Matt Verderam, good stuff there as always. Love it. Love it. Love it.